I want to get to one of these stories that has been, I don't know if it's been dominating this week, but the very lazy headline, Dr. Seuss Gets Canceled, has been bandied about quite a bit. And if you're somebody who's saying, well, Dr. Seuss was canceled, then I'm telling you, you're being very lazy, because that's a nuanced story, and that is not exactly what happened. Joining us on the phone right now is Dr. Roxanne Owens. She is a chair and associate professor of elementary reading at DePaul University. Hi, Dr. Owens. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us. As I read the title, it sounds weird, Elementary Reading at DePaul University, because most of those kids come in reading at a higher level than that, of course.
It's actually Cure of Teacher Education.
Okay. I appreciate you being on with us. I know that you've got some history here, because you've done a presentation titled The Nonsense and Good Sense of Dr. Seuss, The Man, the Myth, and the Women Behind the Legend. So I know that's about a different area than we're talking about right now. The story this week was that four Dr. Seuss titles will no longer be printed. If I Ran the Zoo, and To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, On Beyond Zebra, and McGilligot's Pool will go out of circulation. What's lost, I think, in this, because everybody's, oh, they're canceling Dr. Seuss. Now cancel culture's come for Dr. Seuss. This is you or I going back and erasing that tweet from 10 years ago that were like, ooh, that's kind of a bad look, isn't it? I don't feel that way anymore. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Dr. Seuss's estate has pulled these four titles, which I think is totally different than somebody saying, we need to stop that person, they're a bad person. How do you see this?
Absolutely. And there's actually six titles that have been pulled. And places do this all the time, where they decide that, you know, a book hasn't been selling, and so they're going to stop publishing it. Now, the reason that they gave specifically was that these particular books have some images in them that are have been deemed as offensive. And so that's the reason that they gave for deciding that they're not going to publish them anymore.
It's interesting, because I was reading a New York Times story about it, and they were talking about different authors that have revised things over the years because of insensitivities or changing values, you know, different things like that, that we evolve, right? Even in the last 30 years, we've evolved on many issues, and that's a good thing. And so authors have gone back and changed certain things, pictures or words or whatever it is. Why do you think that the estate decided it's better to pull these six titles than to make changes? Now, none of them, like you mentioned, are huge sellers, but To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street was Dr. Seuss's first children's book, so that has a special place in some way. Are you surprised at all that they didn't decide to make alterations and instead just decided to pull the book for now?
Yeah, again, that one was not, you know, to give you a little bit of a comparison, so, oh, The Places You'll Go sells about 500,000 copies a year.
Yeah.
The Mulberry Street sells about 5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it might have been a decision that it just probably wasn't worth it to change it. They did change the Asian character, which was the main controversial one a few years ago.
Oh, they did. They had done
they
that.
Did.
Okay.
They did. When the museum in Springfield opened a few years ago, they changed the Asian character in it. So they did make a change a few years ago, and it really did not seem to make that big of a difference in the sales of it. So part of this might have been a little bit of a financial decision, but I don't think we need to hold a bake sale for the Seuss Enterprises. Last year they made $33 million, so I think they're still doing okay.
They are still doing okay, and in fact, since they've pulled these books, and this has become such a silly story this week, on Thursday morning the New York Times says 9 of the site's top 10 bestsellers were Dr. Seuss books.
That is absolutely correct. So, and then a lot of them were going for really high prices on eBay, and then eBay decided to take them off and stop allowing them to be sold.
That's so interesting, because if it was a financial decision, what a brilliant financial decision. In fact, it might be the Seuss estate who's quietly saying, they canceled us. Tell everybody you know, they canceled Dr. Seuss. And we're all going to run out and buy the books.
Absolutely right.
How do you contextualize what did happen with Seuss over the years? He's known, you know, widely, of course, as this beloved author who many of the books talk about kindness and inclusivity and all of these things that, a lot of people know, but not everybody knows about his career before children's books and the political cartoons and some of the stances that he did took. And there is some controversy even before he starts writing his children's books. How do we, you know, how should we be thinking about Seuss when it comes to these juxtapositions of his views and his stances that he kind of publicly took?
So I think there's a couple different ways to look at it, and I think that's what people need to do, is to look at it in a couple of different ways. There's, first of all, he was human, you know, and he lived at the time that he lived. And then sometimes when you say that, people say, well, but you know, we can't use that as an excuse. You know, there were people who lived at that time who did not do political cartoons like that, that were so anti-Semitic and anti-Asian. And that's true, too. But then you also need to look at how he evolved over time, because as humans, we all evolve over time. So one of the things that people often will point at is, yes, he did. He definitely did have, you know, what would be considered horrifically prejudicial political cartoons. And then people will point to things like the Horton Hears a Who book and will say, you know, he dedicated that book to Mitsugi Nakamura, a Kyoto educator, and people see that as an apology to the Japanese. But then you will also hear people say, no, that was not an apology to the Japanese at all. That actually was a book that is a pro-life book. So there are so many perspectives that you can take. And that's the thing about literature. Literature is all about different perspectives. So we're not going to settle this at all about whether he was or was not a racist. I think you look at the totality of his work. You try to talk to people who actually knew him. Look at his biographies. His stepdaughter recently said in an interview that this man did not have a racist bone in his body. So we try and think about that.
Well, it's Roxanne, these are tough days to hear somebody throw that out and not think, well, I know other people that are loudly proclaiming that in the past couple of years and not buying it all the way.
Yes, so. Right. And then in the other argument a lot of educators make is, well, you want to look at the books and maybe use them as teachable moments. And so we want to show kids these books and say, hey, you know, these are not nice pictures of people, so we shouldn't draw pictures of people like this anymore.
It seems weird to purposely show the kids the book to tell them
exactly.
How that part's bad, though, right?
And so then other people will say, well, unless you're one of the offended people, you don't understand how hurtful these pictures are.
Yeah, for sure. We're speaking with Roxanne Owens. She is with DePaul University, and she has presented on Dr. Seuss. We're talking about cancel culture and Dr. Seuss, and no, they didn't come for him. His own family decided, you know what, let's pull some of these back and not put out the things that maybe don't jive with how he really felt or how he evolved to feel in his later works. And maybe it was just a business decision. Hey, we're spending too much money on print. We don't need to put these out there. Let's tell him why, and then we'll sell all these other books. And then that, if that was the case, that really worked. But how does this relate to discussions we're having these days about Columbus, about Jefferson and Washington, even about Bill Cosby? We'll talk about that next here on 720 WGN. We're speaking with Dr. Roxanne Owens. She is a professor at DePaul University. We're talking about Dr. Seuss and did the cancel culture police come for him? The verdict is no, they didn't. His family decided, or his estate. I don't even know, Roxanne, how much of his family is even involved in his estate.
Yeah, that's a good question. The woman who's in charge of Seuss Enterprises is actually not a member of his family. So, and it's unclear how many members of his family are part of Seuss Enterprises at this time, since his wife passed away back in December.
Yeah, I guess the, you know, like you said, you know, these were not well-selling books. So if somebody suddenly offended at Green Eggs and Ham, they're going to find another way to keep selling that book, most likely.
That's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. As we're going to the break, I mentioned, you know, in the last year especially, we've really started taking a hard look at some of our history and some of our historical figures. Of course, Columbus is very divisive, mm-hmm. but even Jefferson and Washington, mm-hmm. who both owned slaves, yet were founding fathers and had all these great, amazing moments of leadership and, mm-hmm. and, you know, everything that they brought to this country. But there is a dark stain in their history as well. And even contemporarily, and this may sound silly to bring it in, but for me, Bill Cosby, I grew up owning I think every Bill Cosby album, I could recite, mm-hmm. Three or four, and I could recite very long pieces of it, and I love them, and I still love hearing them, but now it feels very weird to play them. Now, two very different instances, very different, and I get why we don't want to, you know, keep cherishing Bill Cosby in the same way. Mm-hmm. And I get it with everybody. It's very different with everybody we've named here, but it's a very hard thing to love the art or the message, whether it was later in life or whatever it was, or, you know, the leadership or all the good things somebody did, and then trying to reckon with the stains on their life, the bad decisions, the poor decisions, or in some cases, the evil within them. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to figure out how we walk through that minefield.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You know, kind of the not a perfect, but hate the sin, love the sinner kind of a thing. You know, and with Dr. Seuss, clearly a lot of his images have not aged well. Simple as that. Would he have drawn the same types of pictures today? I have to think not. I have to think absolutely not. But you know, even people that are really smart about this kind of stuff, you know, the issues around racism and the issues around important people like Lincoln and all of those people. So like the Southern Poverty Law Center, for instance, for years and years and years has used the Sneetches in their anti-racist curriculum. So they've held up the Sneetches as a good book to teach about anti-racism. But recently, they've been criticized about using the Sneetches as a book that shows anti-racism, because really, those people now who are digging into topics like our history around, you know, our heroes and people that maybe are not such heroes, people like that are criticizing books like the Sneetches and saying, no, it's not really about you know, loving each other and accepting each other. It's really a book looking at structural power imbalance. And the Sneetches really just get confused about who's really in charge. And so they just give up and are just oppressed of each other. And so it's not really about a message of acceptance. Now, do you really think that's what Seuss set out to write in that book?
Well, we certainly don't know, but if we look at the other books he certainly wrote, you know, Horton Hears a Who and the other ones that we do see acceptance and forgiving each other or learning to understand each other and think about each other, all of those things.
Well, that's what we want to believe. Yeah. He sat down and wrote, yeah. But we don't really know, but that's what we all want to think, that this man who wrote for children and wrote what we believe are delightful books for children, despite what some of the illustrations might be. I mean, that's what one side of the argument's got to be.
Yeah, I guess you could say, well, we don't know for sure, but we could apply that to just about anything in the world, yeah. Right? I mean, it's you know, I'm sitting here wondering 30, 40 years from now, what are we going to look back upon the current generation? You know, decisions we know they've made, because those books have been around forever. So it's not like they were hidden and suddenly we found these books he wrote and they were terrible. Yeah. No, these have been sold for, you know, 70 years now, right?
Yeah.
Barack Obama was not for gay marriage at first.
Right.
Right? You know, there's all sorts of things that we could look back and say, we, after more education and more learning about and more this and that, I grew. I changed as a person,
yeah.
And I learned things. And I'm not here to try to defend to the death Dr. Seuss or anybody else.
No, of course not, because we don't know. We don't. But he did say in an interview one time that he wanted to write whimsical stories that responded to children's innate sense of justice. So
that's interesting, because really, to me, they're just silly rhyming books that are fun to repeat. You know,
absolutely.
And that's the great thing about them, with fun illustrations and all sorts of silliness. What is your favorite Dr. Seuss book, by the way?
Oh, you know, that is a tough call. That is a tough call. I would, I actually like one of the ones not written by him, but in his series. I liked Go Dogs Go, which is not written by him, but it's P.D. Eastman by the, it's part of his series.
So what is the deal with that? Because it's funny, I was thinking earlier, my favorite book probably is really Go Dog Go, but that's, I knew it was P.D. Eastman.
It's not written by him.
Also, what's the one, Put Me in the Zoo?
Right.
I think that's P.D.
by Robert Lopshire. Okay. So that was another one in the series, but it's not by him.
Not Seuss.
And he had a lot of fights with the people who wrote in his series. The Berenstain Bears started out as part of that series, too.
So did Seuss have any control over that, or was that...
He had a tremendous amount of control over that, and that's why a lot of people ended up breaking off from him.
No kidding. So P.D. Eastman was writing those books so they were Seuss by nature, but just written by other people?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Go Dog Go is... it's a big dog party. I loved reading that book to my kids. I still think about that book. If I had to pick a favorite Seuss, though, I think it would have to be One Fish, Two Fish.
Oh, absolutely. That's a fabulous one. And, that's in the same rhyme style as Shakespeare, double, double, toil and trouble, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. So it's a very sophisticated book.
Interesting. Well, next time I'm sitting around reading it, somebody gives me a hard time, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but this is a very sophisticated book. Don't give me such a hard time about my one fish, two fish. Although I would rather. I mean, that tree at the end with that dog party, it's insanity.
It's an amazing party.
There's swings and there's I think a dog shooting out of a cannon or something. Finally, she likes that hat. What is the message of finally the acceptance with the hat? Because by then I think he should be like, you know what? I don't care if you like my hat. I don't need your acceptance on this.
Wear whatever hat you want to wear.
Yeah. Yeah. He shouldn't have even asked the third time, fourth time, whatever.
he died of throat cancer. So at the end he couldn't speak. And his neighbors who wrote a biography of him gave him a piece of paper and said, is there anything that you want to leave as like a slogan or something? And he wrote down, the best slogan I can think of to leave the kids of the U.S. with is, we can and we've got to do better than this. So I got to believe that somebody who wanted that to be one of his last statements would want his books to not be remembered as books that fostered racism in any sort of a way.
Yeah, I think we have to get rid of Dr. Seuss. Okay, we just... got rid of Dr. Seuss. No, we didn't. He's still there, and all the books are still there. Yeah. His estate decided they're going to pull that back, some titles that they don't find appropriate anymore.
Absolutely.
Dr. Roxanne Owens from DePaul University, we appreciate so much you being on the phone with us tonight. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. You too.
All right. Thank you so much.